I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hey!
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
We're back out in the wild. Oh, together, yeah. Still.
Together on the same coast, in a backyard, spread out more this time.
Ooh.
I've got so many wires here, I feel like I'm a spaghetti plate.
Yeah, you do remind me of a spaghetti plate.
Well, I'm wearing a meatball on my head.
That'll
sometimes
happen.
You know, sometimes when we start this podcast, we really got it.
Yep.
Today is one of those days. Spaghetti on a plate. Good Lord.
Some people like that. I mean, hey, in Italy, they're probably eating this shit up.
How many Italian listeners do we have?
Uno.
Dos. Unos, dos, tres, cuatro.
Ooh. U2, what was that song that started with? Uno, dos, tres, catorce.
Yeah, so that's 14, right?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 14?
Yeah, what song is that, though?
Elevation!
I think you both sound this.
That's from Tomb Raider.
No, it was, remember?
Well, hold on, Tim. That's from Tomb Raider.
That's from Tomb Raider. When garage rock was cool, and the whole point of garage rock was to undercut the big major label rock bands, then Bono was like, me too!
Who was telling us about, if you're at a U2 concert, you hear that? There's like a siren going or a...
Somebody's
a kid was crying.
Whining.
A family needs help.
We'll do it after this podcast.
They're like, okay, as long as you get to us before the blowout.
How do they know how we record these? Anyway, somebody was telling us that at U2 concerts, the stages are so big that when the Edge is playing his guitar, you know, he's not connected to any cables or anything, so he can roam free, his choice. And sometimes he gets so far away from his pedals that somebody else backstage, like, plays his parts.
No.
Did somebody tell us that? Did I dream this?
Oh, I hope
a wonderful
not.
Dream, if so.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Sounds crazy, right?
Or maybe it's just, like, all connected to, like, a computer server.
Yeah, it's a computer.
Like, like, you know, big rock bands like that, it's like, it's all on a track. You can't really fuck up, you know?
Yeah, I
bet he's, I bet that if you're the Edge, it's possible that you even have a guitar tech helping you out with some of that stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
It's possible that he doesn't load up all that gear and set it up on stage every day himself.
Himself? Yeah. God, he must just walk out there and be like, where's my guitar? Does it sound like it always does?
And then
yes,
he's like,
Edge, yes. I love you.
What?
The guitar tech loves him.
Well, those guitar techs are so grateful.
Yeah. Well, also, people don't know that the Edge's guitar tech is his wife.
Whoa.
To be, wife to be.
What a reveal.
Yeah. Here on the pod? Hey, revealing stuff like that reminds me of
the Edge doesn't,
we have.
Doesn't play his own guitar.
Nope.
His wife is his tech.
And his wife loves him.
And also a computer does all the work.
Right. Right.
Huh.
What do you say we get into some bebop booze news?
Yes.
Great.
Hit it! Sloppy always have those warm tones.
Ooh, yeah, kind of like an old piece of vinyl pumping out some smooth bebop.
Hey, do you guys hear that?
Oh,
shit, it's time for Booze News.
Whoa.
That's
nice
because
it had some actual musicianship.
Yeah, and it harkened back to the first Booze News iterations that we would do with the beep, beep, beep,
just
beep, beep,
the doot, doot, doot.
Sent to us by Rick Topper. Rock Topper?
Topper!
Rick Topper! if you got a Booze News theme, send it to the Sloppy Boys Podcast at gmail.com.
Rick Topper! Thanks,
Rick. We give preferential treatment to bebop themes. Mm-hmm. So if you could try to get it on that scene. You know, when I was listening to that beat, I kind of felt like a Rat Packy kind of a guy.
You know what I've noticed, and I think this happened in the Booze News last week, and I didn't scold them. We've lost this high-voiced son-of-a-bitch stuff.
You're right.
What happened, folks? Pull it together.
Well, here's another kind of a peek behind the scenes, yeah. Is that people send in hundreds of thousands of Booze News themes, and then I kind of put on my spectacles and take a perusal mm-hmm. in the inbox sure. to see what's there. I will often forget about songs for many months and then go back to them. Mm. So sometimes a new joke has emerged and people are adding to it.
Gotcha.
And I throw it all off by picking a song from January.
Nice.
You know?
So the Booze News is sort of a living, breathing organism. That
Thank
can
you.
It sounds like it's customizable.
I love that type of shit, yeah.
But I do want to say before we get into the Booze News, which I'm very excited about, listeners, if you want the privilege of doing the Booze News theme, great. Do our specs, do the funny thing in the end, or we will take it away.
Yeah, because you know, we treat you with a certain amount of respect. Uh-huh. You have to kind of reciprocate that amount of respect back to us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll quite frankly fuck you up.
Yeah. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Nope.
Adhere to the format.
Just give us a new wheel.
Innovate a new shape.
So yeah, we'll do it or we'll take it away. Tim, you take it away. Here we go.
Well, this is the hugest Booze News possible for a podcast like this. The IBA website is back.
Oh, yeah, finally.
If you've been
And Russian Root made it?
Oh, Michael, quit while you're ahead. We based our whole podcast on the International Bartenders Association cocktail list. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then mere weeks into our hit breakout show,
yeah.
where the very website where we get all of our recipes from was closed for construction.
Yeah.
What was our breakout show?
Our breakout that put us over the top? I think probably Cosmopolitan shot us into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Brandy Alexander brought us back down into the Earth's mantle.
Down into the Earth.
But at some point, maybe a little over a month ago, we went there to find our typical recipe, and we got error 404.
Yeah.
It was a shock.
Yeah.
Leaving us rudderless.
Now, they didn't add new cocktails, did they?
Or No.
They didn't change the list, but what they did do is they, much like they promised, restyled mm-hmm. their website, mm-hmm. and it looks great, and I'm proud of them. It still isn't really searchable, but hey, maybe they could take it down for another few months.
Hey, the fonts are different. That's nice enough.
But, folks, I encourage you, when you're making your cocktails from now on, go to IBAworld.com. Let's say you're mixing up, for example, I don't know, some sort of minty, limey, long Cuban type of cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
You go there, and it looks good now. It used to be a website from the 80s. Now it's kind of a black background, white text, nice, clean pictures. You're going to love
Classy.
It.
Classy. You're going to make it your homepage.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And it's just good news for us that we've been kind of like scrapping together these recipes based on
hearsay,
just
and conjecture.
Any rumor, anyone that said anything about any drink, we're like, well, we'll take your word for it, sir.
Whatever you say. I got some booze news.
Yeah,
share it with us.
It's for you guys know the booze news. The audience does not. Next week, we will be podcasting live from Waikiki, Hawaii.
The
Sloppy Boys are heading down Hawaii way to surf, sun, and
turf.
Pod. Surf, turf. We're going to be on the turf. We'll surf. We'll eat surf and turf. We'll podcast.
We're going to hang 30.
That's right. We're going to do the...
We're going to hang brain.
Blue
all on one surfboard like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah. You guys were with me when I saw that guy on a surfboard. This was in Los Angeles, and he put a folding chair on it.
Yeah.
And sat on it. That was great.
Huh.
And I've seen one with a dog.
I've seen. That was when we went surfing in Carpinteria.
I was not there that day.
Oh. Well, you
Mike,
would have loved
that's
it.
The day I got up.
I know. That's great.
The surf was angry that day, my friend.
The surf was turf. We should open a restaurant. It's like, here, the surf is turf.
After many hours of trying to pop up and failing and flopping and flipping, still having fun, but still falling a lot, then some guy put his dog on a board, and I watched that dog fucking ride it all the way in with a smile.
That thing eats his own shit, and I can't even get up.
And then they're like, well, you eat your own shit, too. I say, sometimes by accident.
Yeah.
But that canine cock really showed me up on that day.
We getting back to the booze
I'm
news.
I'm bleep that. This is disgusting.
That is disgusting. Yeah. But it's Tim's right to say it. We're going to do the Blue Hawaiian drink.
Blue Hawaii.
Blue Hawaii. But there is a Blue Hawaiian drink.
Yes, and it's a different drink, and you're confusing the listener, Michael.
Okay. We will. Let's redo that, actually.
No. The confusion is good.
Yeah, everyone's.
The confusion's no good.
No, but, I mean, it's a quite common tiki confusion. Ooh, that could be a movie that we make.
It's a quite common tiki confusion.
The common tiki confusion. Usually common isn't really a good a movie word.
Common. Yeah, you don't need to watch this. It's very common.
It's quite common.
Overplane. Just kidding. Keep talking.
Talk through plane.
Blue Hawaii. We got a plane, folks.
This is our flight. We gotta go, folks.
Wow. This guy's flying a little low. Buzz cut.
Well, let's wrap up booze news and get into the drink.
The D of the D.
The Dungeon of the Dragon. Okay. Let me tell you a little tale.
Sure.
About a certain concoction. We'll put a little early 2000s techno dance music bed get going right here.
Cool.
Maybe like Ray of Light?
Yeah, but copyright free.
Nice. Sure. Ray of Life.
Oh, it's the early to mid aughts. And you know that the T-Man is staying up late after Conan and flipping over to E! Entertainment Network.
I got my Keith Urban haircut, tight flared jeans.
Jeff, what do you got?
Oh, geez. What was this, 2005?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm wearing now.
Oh, I probably had my flat top and my big boom box on my shoulder.
Well, I was watching Brooke Burke hosting Wild on Miami, Wild on Cuba. And then, what else? Paris Hilton's on the red carpet being oh so promiscuous, isn't she? And, well, the night at the Roxbury is blowing every box office record known to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the certain drink on everyone's lips is the mojito.
Yes,
whoa.
Yes.
Mowing down mojito.
Now, you might say that the real history goes back farther. Maybe to Havana, Cuba in the 1600s.
Now that is too loud,
it's,
whatever
it's
this
too
is.
Close.
This is a chopper. It's too much. Jeez Louise.
It's funny when it always, it's like, is a...
directly overhead.
Fucking LAPD.
Yeah.
It's intense.
Who is the person on the red carpet, you said?
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
Wow. So you're telling me this is the official cocktail of Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace?
Yeah, or actually, more accurately, Star Wars Episode Two: Attack of the Clones.
Nice.
Now,
a slightly better movie.
Some people have feelings on whether there was the original trilogy, and then there's the prequel trilogy, and then there was kind of a modern trilogy. And I've heard that there are audience members that have like proclivities toward the different films.
Are you sure about that?
You might be thinking of Lord of the Rings, which is a trilogy.
I was thinking of Lord of the Rings. That all those people have a proclivity toward Lord of the Rings instead.
Yes.
That's what the time period I associated with. I couldn't even really back this up. I went looking to see all the articles about the resurgence of the mojito in the early to mid 2000s, because I really think of the Frosted Tips,
yep,
and
yep,
the Lance Bass,
the Lance Bass of it all,
and the Ryan Seacrest, and they're all throwing back mojitos.
My first real job in LA, you remember, I was like a production coordinator, mm-hmm, and the head honcho over there was a screenwriter and a director, mm-hmm, and he came from reality TV, and he was writing a feature. He said, "Jeff, what's a cool drink?" And I said, "Mojito." And
he
was, because he was like, "This is like I'm writing a young, hip comedy script, and these guys are talking about cocktails, and they're going to get something cool for the girls. What's a cool drink?" And I said,
"Kool-Aid,
mojito."
Sir.
And you know, I would know what the cool drink was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's doubting that.
Oh, no, yeah, please. Well, he probably knew you were a future podcast.
And you know what? Gave me a big fat bonus.
Really?
Whoa.
Did he really?
No.
Oh. I associate mojitos with you because I think you're the one I know who drinks them. Or has had them.
Has had them. You're the one I know who has had them.
Well, sometimes you'd be like, "Where's Jeff? Where's Jeff?" He's in his room muddling.
Muttering is muddling.
Well, so before that pop culture resurgence that we noticed, this is one of these sort of, hey, we know it's Cuba. We know it's Havana, Cuba, that goes way back. But at what point does it become a mojito? That's kind of hard to say because, you know, we've talked a lot about that daiquiri,
mm-hmm,
that's sort of like... That is hard to pinpoint because, Mike, you told us about how the British sailors were kind of trying to avoid scurvy by putting lime into their spirits.
That was whiskey sour,
whiskey
right?
Whiskey sour,
whiskey
right.
Sour, right. And then that was also like the daiquiri kind of around that, mm-hmm, same time. We're just talking about a tall daiquiri, you know, a daiquiri that's got soda and mint in it. So there is, around that same time, maybe Sir Francis Drake, the great sea captain, had a very similar drink. Maybe... the fucking, maybe South Americans, mm-hmm, were making a similar spirit that was made out of sugar cane. I mean, we know that the word mojito may have come from the word mojo, which is an African word for magic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But really, we know it takes hold in Havana, Cuba. We know that Hemingway is slurping them down.
Mm-hmm.
Not at his precious La Floridita, nope, where he drank... the Hemingway daiquiri,
nope,
but at another place called La Bodeguita del Medio.
That's right.
They have a very famous one. And then, you know, then the stage is set. Then, you know, eventually Colin Farrell is in Michael Mann's Miami Vice saying,
yeah,
"I'm a fiend for mojitos." And you know they're popping up in Bad Boys 2.
I'm a fiendo, yeah, for mojito.
You know they're popping up in not Dirty Dancing 1, but Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Right.
There was one in Beach Bum, Matthew McConaughey. We should, yep, do a Patreon episode about,
yes,
Beach
we should.
Bum.
Oh, I've been meaning to watch that again. It's a fun one. The audience, if you hear a horn, somebody's doing a horn lesson, it sounds like.
At least they're good.
Really good.
It's not trumpet, like a French junior horn? High French trumpet. Horn player.
Right.
I'm going to say that's a bugle.
A really soulful military guy.
I think it's a straight-up trumpet.
Huh?
Now, so we've all had, or Mike, you just know that Jeff has had.
I know Jeff has had. I have had. I do not prefer.
You now, do not prefer.
Mike, this is you coming in with judgment out of,
no,
the game.
No, what's your judgment?
Tim asked if you liked it.
He just asked if I had.
Oh, okay.
I like it, but they're often too sweet. I feel like I've also had a lot of variations and not just the original, but lots of times people will make it with Malibu, coconut rum,
uh-huh,
and that just makes it too much like of a sweet candy drink.
That's a bad move for me.
So I'm excited to have the original.
Yes.
And we'll see if it lives up to all that mid-2000s hype that, yeah, we all know.
Entourage the movie.
Entourage the... Ooh, yes. It's very Entourage.
Yeah, very Entourage.
We saw that in the theaters together, didn't we?
Not me.
Oof. So I didn't go to surfing, you didn't go to Entourage.
Yeah.
Whew.
Other than that, inseparable.
Yeah, that's right.
A frequent blunder that I'll do with one of these is over-muddle.
Mm.
I'll just crunch
just
that leaf
just
into
clap
powder.
We learned that with the mint julep.
Yep.
It's just a quick...
crunch, crunch.
Couple pops.
What I'll do is I'll lay them down on my chair, and I'll sit my big fat ass on them.
I lay them out. I say, thank you for being part of this. This is going to be awful for you.
When the leaves start screaming uncle, you know they're ready, yep, to go into the drink.
You want to hear the recipe for this motherfucker?
Yeah, man.
Yes. Yes.
45 milliliters of white Cuban rum. That's an ounce and a half. 20 milliliters of fresh lime juice. That's a little more than half an ounce. 6 pieces mint sprig. Let's call it 6 leaves, not pieces of mint sprig. Mm. 2 teaspoons of white cane sugar.
Ooh.
Did you say Michael Caine sugar?
Yes, I did.
That's enough for me. We had a joke at one point. I don't think it made it into anything that was like, I'm Michael Caine. I'm doing a Michael Caine impression. It's not very good, but I'm glad you're listening to it anyway.
You know, there was more to it.
What was it? I'm trying my best. Well, sorry, right in the middle. So sugar.
Soda. Water.
Coca-Cola.
That's weird to say soda water. Say club soda or say soda. Soda water.
That's what tripped me up.
Mm-hmm.
Method. Mix mint sprigs with sugar and lime juice. Add splash of soda water and fill the glass with ice. Pour the rum and top with soda water. Light stir to involve all ingredients. Garnish with sprigs of mint and slice of lime.
Sprigs of
okay,
mint.
So slice Tim, of lime. Where's the muddling?
Yeah, you know what was weird? I was getting confused when I was reading that because of all the different splashes of soda. Sounds like there's a little splash at the bottom.
Is that what this bird is yelling about?
Where's the modeling?
Here's what I think we do. You put the sugar and the lime juice and the mint sprigs in there.
Give that a little muddle.
And give it a little muddle. If you need a splash of soda just to get it liquidy.
Jesus Christ.
You put the sugar then, in the coconut, you eat it all.
Then you can do that. But it's really about getting those non-liquid ingredients in the bottom, muddling them up, pouring the rum, topping with the soda. There you go. And use a lot of ice, folks. Use a nice, tall highball glass, you know, a Tom Collins glass, and give yourself a lot of ice.
Ice is nice here, folks.
And throughout all this, have fun. Put a smile on your face.
Yes.
Hey.
Smile for me.
Thank you. Because if you don't, the drink is going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something I was curious about. So remember last week we did rum in our Flaming Dr. Peppers. So I still have some of that Gosling 151. Should I try that to make it a little different?
I think
or should we start with all three of the basics so we can talk about the same
thing? You're Mike Hanford. I'm not going to tell you
business. You're right. I'm going to get a lunch of Hayden. Well, I'm choosing this.
That 151 to me was a whole different beverage. It was
different
like,
taste. It was a dark rum, too.
It was jet fuel, man.
And let's be honest, it overpowered all three of us.
That's true. Whew. Just thinking about that.
Took us down.
Do you guys remember back in that really good kind of cool early 2000s intro I did, I mentioned A Night at the Roxbury. Just look it up. It came out in 1998.
Oh, geez.
So what you're going to want to do is forget about the year and just kind
of take it in the spirit. Yeah, yeah. The spirit
well, just,
of
like,
what he's
enjoy
saying.
The show, folks.
Well, that movie came out, and then there was like the residual effect.
And probably it was a cult classic on DVD.
Yes.
So
just
think of the DVD. When you hear people say movies, don't always think of the theater alone. Think of the other.
Think of the several-year-old DVD.
Think of the DVD.
Yes. The DVD that's in the bargain bin at Best Buy because it's been out for 6 or 7 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys want to do it?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we meet the winner of the Slop in Your Backyard contest.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Can't wait.
Here we go.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you got to get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something and I just got to tell someone this, I just got to fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me, I've been to therapy, I'm the therapy guy, I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what, my two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis, it's weighing me down, what am I gonna do? That, of course, is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell a therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest, have a great time.
Back, but folks, before we take first sips, we want to bring out a very special winner.
Contest winner. Wow.
Of the, what did we say it was?
It was
Slop in Your Backyard Contest.
And it's so funny because you guys, this contest, like, I'm on the show every week and I almost don't remember you guys ever plugging this contest.
It was kind of under the radar, but it was only open to patrons, so if you want to be in contests like this,
our Patreon subscribers, who we affectionately call patrons.
Right. We love those guys. We love it. We love the ones here.
Yeah, we had a lot of entrants, a lot of hopefuls. Yep.
And as the ones who did enter, you know, the winner of this contest gets to, we go to their house and do this podcast in their backyard. That's why we're outside.
Right.
And they get to have the drink with us.
Right. And one of the essays pulled at our heartstrings the most.
So we will talk to the winner about where they got their inspiration.
They had to write a big, long essay. 20 pages, single space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Neil Campbell.
Woo! Congratulations, young man. And you're a patron.
I'm a patron, yeah. Card carrying. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm so pleased that I won this contest.
Yep.
And can I get you guys anything? Do you need like a Zoom H6 or an XLR cable?
Oh, my God. He's a complete and utter tech head.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sort of an audiophile.
No, you relax. We'll take care of the audio.
You relax. Yeah. And we have a mojito for you.
Ooh.
And you get to kind of just take part in the whole vibe, dude.
Wow. You're over 21?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
It has to be. To enter, you have to be.
Inches tall, you mean, right?
Yes.
Now, Neil, before we get into it, have you had a mojito before?
I'm almost certain I have, but not in any way that I quite recall. Certainly not in a significant way that would mean I should be the guest on this episode.
No, you had the best essay. We do want to talk about that essay, too, by the way.
But let me ask you this. We just went on a long tear about how we associate this drink with, it's the 2000s and it's Burke Wild On and it's Ryan Seacrest at the beach. Does that ring true for you, or do you think I'm kind of a fucking idiot?
No, I think you guys are geniuses. As I wrote in the essay, but
that was all you said in the essay.
Well, in great physical specimens, and
oh yeah, it was mainly a description of our bodies.
Yeah,
in depth, ab by ab,
each ab, yeah.
top row left ab on Tim.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
Yeah. These are names. I obviously know Ryan Seacrest as a famous host of many programs. Brooke Burke, that name rings a bell. Mm. I don't think I watched a lot of that stuff, but yes, I'm familiar with this drink as being a trendy drink from
the
last
time.
20 years
We're making the case that it maybe had a resurgence around that time, and then maybe it was eschewed. Maybe when the Mad Men scene took over, then the mojito lost its
drinks
flair.
Got serious.
Very true.
The Brooke Burke thing, I do want to point out that when I was maybe in high school, my friend and I were watching Talk Soup. I think Hal Sparks was hosting at the time. And they were doing a Brooke Burke like segment. And he made the joke. He's like, Brooke Burke sounds like a chicken, says her name. He's like, Brooke Burke. And that, I held on to that. And you may have heard me say it a little early in the podcast. I said, was that a chicken?
Oh, it's wow. So cool to hear about like how you came up with your riffs.
It's just, I just steal all Hal Sparks' old
now,
stuff.
You just reached for your drink for a sip, and then you freaked the fuck out when you realized that we hadn't had first
sip. We have not,
yet.
And I already did take a sip.
Okay, well, before you do, just I give these a nice stir, or like push your cubes down, because I splashed the soda on top.
Mm. Yeah, Tim sort of took care of making these, and I have never made such an aesthetically pleasing drink on this show.
Yeah, this is a nice one. Also,
this looks pro.
I supervised him to make sure it was textbook for for the IBA.
I leaned against the counter and looked at hockey scores.
Yeah. Now, Mike made mine, and instead of mint, he used mouthwash, and instead of sugar, it's salt.
Honestly, there are some very minty mouthwashes these days.
That's, I think, what he was thinking.
And it says any granular powder will do.
You wrote in your essay you wanted your drink Hanforded, right?
Yeah.
Or mic'd, guys in the Discord say.
I want the Instagram commenters to get really mad.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's do our mojito sips.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Very good.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm on the beach.
So I had my sip before I stirred it up, and the stirring... Good. Stirring good. No stir. No good.
And that was a stirring... tail.
You stirring tails, we do need to get to that essay.
It's mostly the app.
Yeah, we're going to read it aloud.
You're reminding me of that Bob Marley song. Stirring good.
Yep. Mm. Stir your mojito, my darling.
Yeah. On first sip, I love it, and it's like it's kind of like a Tom Collins, but with a minty, limey twist.
Yeah. All right. So remember earlier I was saying I don't like these. They stink. I was kind of being a little pissed. You weren't here yet, Neil.
I missed. I might make references that you guys have already said.
Oh shit. So, yeah. Well, we'll immediately boot you off this podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. Just edit.
Thank you. So the mojito I've had before, the ones I've had before, they weren't as good as this one.
Yeah.
Weren't as good.
This happens all the time.
Yeah.
This is like...
You say you come in with an attitude, and then you take one sip and you say, you know what? This is better than the ones I've had.
No. Well, it happened the other way where I made the Trinidad Sour, and that was better than the one I then had at Clover
Club.
But, yes.
Hmm. Neil, did you also have a Trinidad Sour at the Clover Club in Brooklyn?
No, but I tried... I tried the one Hanford ordered.
Do you believe that Hanford says that he's the one that he made himself was better than the one at the Clover Club?
Yes, he believes me.
I believe it.
Yes, he does. He's a smart boy, a good boy.
Mike slid a knife into Neil's body.
It was between the ribs. It's fine. You can just do that at home and you won't get hurt.
Totally fair game. Poked right out the back, didn't hit any organs. It's not too rummy, right? It's like, because there's a lot of soda in here, and I just got one little crunch of sugar, and that was kind of nice.
Yeah, ooh. And you didn't over-muddle, thank God.
Oh. Yeah, that I did peek over and see the muddling process. That was a nice little tappy.
I'm not dealing with a clogged straw.
Right.
You're not going to have to be flossing them out of your teeth later on, either.
Mm. Now, Neil, we, thank you so much for... being part of the contest and being the winner and having us here in your beautiful backyard.
Course, yeah.
Can you tell us anything about the area here? I know there's some squirrels you sort of...
Yeah, give us a rundown of the wildlife.
Well, there's a squirrel couple, and the husband will eat out of my hand, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
I saw this happen. No, we should say you won the contest, but I'm also staying here while I'm in
LA. Yes, yes, yes.
So I've got him in the guest room, and that's nice. Unrelated to the contest. I'm staying here, and you happen to win, thank God.
Yeah.
I saw, Neil walks right up with a walnut.
It was a walnut this time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, one of my walnuts. Oh, we're a terrible roommate.
I owe you.
He owes me a walnut, and I owe you for that Uber, actually. We got to take care of that. He went right up to it, and the squirrel, a little apprehensive, he said, "You're not going to hurt me.
I won't be in your stew, will I?"
No, I want you to have stew.
And now we gotta, it's the lemon tree is probably what brings all the wildlife here, right? They pick those lemons and they eat them?
They take the lemons, there's avocado, you know, there's a couple things they indulge in.
Oh, and the wildlife, it gets wild. Earlier today I was in the kitchen looking outside, and right on that little platform area, I saw two lizards fucking each other. And another
fucking
lizard
each
walking
other.
By.
Yeah.
Well, they were one was on the other one's back, and I assumed. Yeah.
I saw the squirrels consummating their marriage at one point. Ooh. So,
I saw a couple squirrels hooking up, but like they were a little prudish, so they didn't exactly do everything. You know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, these lizards I saw had like whips and like leather masks.
Oh yeah, they were into the whole scene. You know when you see a little lizard and they do those little push-ups?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
That's Jessica said that she heard it's like a intimidation tactic. Like when they're doing push-ups, they're trying to make themselves look bigger so that we're gonna be like, it's a huge lizard.
Yeah, I figured it was a mating thing or something. I mean, I guess it led
better
me,
not be a mating thing
because
he was
one,
doing
so.
It at Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it works. That tactic works at the beach for most guys.
I was just kind of looking through her phone before, and there were a bunch of missed calls from Liz Ard.
So,
that could be anything.
Yeah, definitely could be.
Did I ever tell you guys a story of I was in gym class one time in junior high?
Oh, you told me off mic, but go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you.
Neil wasn't sitting on my shoulders. Go ahead.
Told him about every time you were in gym class, so.
There was this sort of jockish fellow.
Calpacus type?
Yeah, Calpacus
type. Jocular or jockish?
A cocksure fellow, you know? And he was picking on some kids, one of my friends, this guy Andrew. And we're playing floor hockey in gym class. And he has Andrew, he's got him in a headlock, kind of bent over his knee while the teacher's not looking. And I was like, "Stop that, you let him go." This is all true. And then guess who gets the next headlock?
Oh boy. You?
It's the J-Man.
It's all only
I was going to guess him from you, but.
Oh, you want some of this?
So here's what happens.
You joined on dead and did push-ups.
So I'm in the headlock, right? Uh-huh. And then just to maintain my own balance, reflexively, I step over the leg, his leg, and I have my hand on his back just to support myself.
Uh-huh.
And he goes smacking into the gym floor like, it was as though it was a judo move.
You flipped him.
Yeah, it was as though I'd done it on purpose.
Wow.
And that's when everybody looked over at him, gym teacher included.
Mm-hmm.
Guy starts doing push-ups.
I have heard this.
As though it was something.
That's what he was going to do anyway.
Yeah, I'm down here, so
thanks,
this is my cover. I'm just going to do a couple push-ups.
Was he like, when he was down there, was he like, 51, 52, 53?
I wasn't there, but I actually believe that guy that he really was just working out.
Tim, well, it's because you guys have so much in common.
He got bored
of
bullying.
Yeah, you
got
to know, if you want to maintain great pecs, you got to be down there 200-300 push-ups a day. How many push-ups do you think you could do in a row?
I tried this the other day. I got up to 12, and I said, "I'm gonna call it here."
What I do on the Doughboys live stream? That's how many I can do.
Was it more than 12?
It was like 20.
20
proper push-ups,
good ones, chest to the ground.
Do you think I could do 21 right now?
Let's see. Put your mic down towards the ground.
I'm gonna put my mic down toward my crotch.
Sure.
Okay. Whoa! I'm huge.
You're going for 20? He's really doing it, folks. He's clearing the pockets.
I mean, it seems like I aspire to get between Mike and Jeff. I don't think I could beat 20, but I think I could beat 12.
You got to do more than that lizard.
I will say, by clearing his pockets, he took out a bunch of Chips Ahoy wrappers.
Well, speaking of lizards, I got another lizard I got to tell you about.
Yeah, while Tim's stretching and warming up.
I'm going to do some push-ups. Neil, talk about that lizard.
Oh, well, there's a lizard who lives... He mostly lives in the front yard, and we're in the back. His name's Lazy Guy. One, two,
three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Those are good push-ups, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, good form.
And if your listeners don't know the order numbers come in, they're hearing it now.
This would be good for a Sesame Street segment.
Damn.
Woo!
21!
Whoa!
Wow.
Dang. 21. Great
push-up king.
Look at that.
The push-up king of California.
Yeah. That was amazing.
That was great. Now, Lazy Guy is a lizard who lives in the front yard. And he just splays out his legs, all four of them in either direction.
Yeah, he does.
There's a name for that.
I've taken about 100 photos of him. So
we'll post one.
Yeah, you can post one.
When dogs do that, it's called splooting. Is that right?
I've never asked a dog, but yeah, probably.
Yeah, ask one.
Ask a lizard. Maybe.
Oh, sure.
He might.
I don't know if you all know what the dogs call it.
Now, Neil, we once saw several lizards in Griffith Park.
That's true.
We went on a lizard look walk.
That was February 2012.
We were shooting a Comedy Bang Bang episode for the IFC show.
Yes, I believe the what do you call it? When there's money from an advertiser involved.
Branded?
Sponsor?
Branded thing, yeah. It wasn't it like...
I think it was like Neil and Tim's lizard shoes.
It was like for a car or something.
It was like
Scott
a sketch that had them like parallel parking a car or something.
Yeah, it was like...
Was it the Honda Scaly?
Yes, I believe so.
I think it was the Toyota Long Tongue.
Shit. Edsel situation.
No, but we were on a brief break and we said, let's go for a walk and see lizards. And we saw... Many lizards.
Yeah,
let's go on our walk. Okay, were you by the Batman cave?
No, we were up by the helipad.
Nice.
Ooh, choppers.
Yeah,
I like that.
But I have not kept in touch with any of those lizards from that day.
Yeah, I mean a few, but it's been a while.
Only because of Facebook and stuff.
Yeah exactly.
Now, Neil, this essay you wrote. You want to take the listener through it?
Sure, yeah. I mean,
because we're not going to read the whole 20 pages.
Strokes.
Yeah.
It was called AbFab, and it was just sort of a description of your guys' bodies. Uh-huh. Excruciating, some may say, detail.
Yeah.
Tendon by tendon, muscle by muscle.
Yeah,
sure, sure.
Yeah.
But it was a 20-page limit, so you could barely just cover the abs, and then you ran out of time.
Yeah, yeah. I just sort of went, bottom left for each of you, and then I think that's all as far as I got, to be
and
honest.
You covered this in the essay, but the audience doesn't know this. When you were writing this, you did go back to medical school just to get some anatomy classes.
Yeah, yeah, and in art school as well. I was sort of learning the anatomy. And
so you could speak intelligently on the subject.
Well, good.
And that showed, and the work paid off, and here you are.
This is kind of the annoying thing about science is that we're always learning things, and you always have to update and change. Well, I used to have a 6-pack, but I'm pretty close to getting an 8-pack, so you're going to have to add a couple new chapters there.
Yeah, there'll be a revised edition released, you know.
Is that possible? You can just add, I mean, you're adding more abs? Or just
Well,
like
it's not new muscles, but they're newly visible.
Oh, wow.
But I wonder, if guys have 8, is it 2 that are really low that are popping out, or is it 2 that are up high?
Is 8 the max, you think?
It's got to be the max. You can't just keep it stacking.
Personally, my morals, I think I would never go more than 8. I think it's kind of weird.
You don't want to show up.
How are you guys doing on those Heatos?
Pretty well, I'm getting good. To the point where I could almost take a break and have another round.
Woo! More mint forward than I would have guessed.
Mm. It's funny because I'm impressed with mint and its ability to stand out. That wasn't too many leaves.
No.
We didn't muddle them too hard.
No, it's not as strong. It's just that's
there.
The main flavor. Is.
Where
it's
did you get this mint, Tim?
Albertsons on Hillhurst, and it was that fancy mint that still has some dirt on the bottom, like it's living mint.
I was going to say, because you can get some mints probably from places that just don't have that taste.
I'll tell you what else. I'm getting a little bit swayed by the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And when I take a sip, I'm breathing the mint. It's a full body experience. I have the mint on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I did some push-ups, so I've also got grass in my mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe not as limey as I would like, because I'm such a lime freak.
Let's take this. Speaking of the grass, I do want to take this opportunity to thank Neil for stopping mowing the lawn for us to do this.
Yeah, I was that would be bad for the audio if I started.
Probably. Yeah. Don't pick that
That'd
up.
That'd be good.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of mint, if anyone has Amazing Spider-Man #1 mint condition, they're willing to sell it on the cheap to me. I'd love that.
Good.
Anyone listening, reach out to at Is that correct?
No, that would actually be my email address that you've given away.
They well, don't know what?
Yeah, reach out to his email address.
Kneeler Dude is my online thing.
Folks, email us personally and let us know.
If you're serious, email Neil. If you're not serious, you can mess around on
Instagram. I'm Kneeler Dude. Now, look, I haven't... I occasionally will do an Instagram, but I haven't.
No, Neil, you got to get on Twitter because that's where there's Linda Underwear.
You know what? I will. I'm an old, as an old man, what I will do is sometimes type into my browser the URL, twitter.com/TimKalpakis, which is where Linda Underwear seems to post from.
Right. She uses Tim's account.
And I'll catch up on many laughs. That's what you do.
If you want to check out Linda Underwear, go to www.twitter.com/TimKalpakis. That's where you find her.
That's where I go. Whew. That's where I direct my browser.
Well,
shall we do
round
another?
Round two.
Ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding, everybody.
Folks, we'll be back.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When your skin feels nourished and glows, you radiate confidence. Osea makes giving your skin a glow up easy with their clean, clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This seaweed-powered duo features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
And we're back. Fresh mojitos in hand, round two.
Round two, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I did a big splash of rum in there, made it a little too strong. Not as good as round one.
Yeah, I eyeballed this one, and follow the directions on this one, folks.
Yeah, I eyeballed it, but it did it perfectly.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I just poured water in mine.
I made one of my classic mistakes where the nozzle of the bottle missed my glass with it and kind of went... between the cheeks,
up.
And then I was doing a cartwheel, and yep. Then glug, glug, glug.
You're always finding yourself in that situation.
I hate it.
We've lost so many bottles to that thing, that weird thing that happened.
That thing.
Oh, Jeff, I'm ready to review.
Mike wants to review. You guys ready to review?
So am I.
I'm ready. Well, Michael, you wanted to know when I was ready, and I am.
Michael, why don't you kick it off?
Final thoughts, Mike.
Final
kick
thoughts
it off.
For me. I like this. I like the one Tim made here. Am I going to order it again? I think I'm going for a gin and tonic instead.
It's very gin and tonic esque.
Mm-hmm. And if given the choice, I'm taking the G and T.
Damn, Neil, what do you have to say to that?
I would order this in a specific circumstance. I would order it...
appointment only.
I poolside yes. Somewhere, oh. But I wouldn't necessarily get this out at a bar or something like
you
that.
Know,
but it's very tasty. It's just that's the circumstance I would drink it.
Poolside's good because even if you were like in the hot direct sun, it is a nice bubbly club soda drink that I could imagine... You're not going to want to. Me and Jessica were at a hotel recently, and I saw a guy having a dirty martini with olives by the pool at 2 p.m. Like, hot sun beating down on him. He was wearing a black t-shirt, black jeans, dress shoes, and drinking a martini. And I wanted to go up to him and say, it's California, baby. Come on.
Was he, like, laying down in a lounge chair? Or just
it
like,
wasn't hey. Your accountant, was it?
Yeah. He was meeting up with his wife's parents. And seemed to be like the wife's parents were meeting their baby for the first time.
Okay. Great.
That type of a scene.
Did he have a martini glass?
Yeah, because it was from the hotel bar.
Okay. Because I was at the airport coming here, and I got a martini at the bar, and it came in like a regular cup.
Rocks glass. Oh.
And it was just like, it's not the same.
No.
By the way, if you wanted my final thoughts on this episode, I think you guys, the experiment with guests has been good, but you got to go back to no more guests.
Oh, really? You're saying you hate this?
Yeah, I'm ruining this. You got to go back to no guests.
What about slop in your backyard?
No, you got to have that contest regularly.
Yes, but that'll be.
Don't give away a prize.
The person can just look through the sliding glass door.
Yeah, slop through your glass door is what we'll do from now on. I have another rounder. I like it. I think I like it even more than these guys because I like a nice weak drink. I'm learning that I like the long drink. We learned in the first episode, right? A long drink has club soda pile on top.
Yeah.
I used to think I liked only those stiff little martinis and stuff, but now I think I like having a slow sipper.
You want a hard refreshment.
I want a hard refreshment. You know what this drink reminded me of, too, is very similar to that Brazilian drink, the Caipirinha. You ever had one of those?
No.
Very good. Well, you should do it on the pod.
Something to do on the pod. Jeff, hey. You're being awfully quiet over there. What do you think?
I think you nailed it with it's a hard, a hard refresher. It's an order again for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's not appointment only, but I'm not going to get a bunch of these. If you got a DeLorean headed back to 2005, I'll drink as many as you want. Back when it was the cool one.
When Paris Hilton's serving them out on the red carpet.
Now, when you say DeLorean, are you referring to Back to the Future, or are you just like, that's just the
any
type
DeLorean,
of car you like?
Any DeLorean.
I think they all travel
through
time.
They all do that.
Yeah. Well, they need a flux capacitor.
88 times an hour. What the hell is that movie all about?
88 frames per second, I think he was saying.
Oh.
The 2005 of it all, after drinking it, it didn't taste like that to me. I thought if this was like a pre-made Bacardi already mixed mojito, that would taste more like the Paris Hilton type of drink we were talking about.
Yeah.
But this was...
What's the difference? Just the lime juice? The fresh lime?
Just in general, that this didn't feel like dated to me like it was like some sweet, embarrassing drink.
I used to roll my eyes at the idea of a mojito just because it was like so overplayed.
So in?
But...
Right, you're watching Crash.
Yeah, you're watching Crash. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Paul Haggis was slobbing these down as he wrote.
Yeah, he's like, oh, am I going to lose Best Director to Ang Lee?
I think I might leave this Church of Scientology after I'm done writing this.
Well, folks, that's the mojito. You guys want to read some mail?
Ooh.
Do we ever? Come on.
Hey, this one comes to us straight from the winner.
The contest winner.
Neil Campbell. Also picked my email?
Yes, yes.
Whoa.
Unrelated, we also picked your email.
Big week for you, Neil.
This is a two-parter. Hey, Sloppy Boys.
I want to hear part one first.
Yeah, we'll start with that.
Don't make this a memento thing.
That's the order I wrote it in. This isn't a Pulp Fiction situation.
Right, great.
Well, let me flip a coin, and we'll see which side we begin with.
Good point.
We're going to start with part one.
Yes.
Hey, Sloppy Boys. I'm a huge fan. Two questions for you. Yeah, we know, Neil. As a fan of the live concert experience, I love seeing how bands open their shows.
Oh.
Mm. When they decide for the lights to come up, if they start with a banger or a mood setter, etc. Yeah. Some highlights for me include Yeah Yeah Yeah's Runaway in Pomona in September 2009.
Oh.
Badlands by Springsteen at LA Sports Arena in April 2009.
Yeah, baby.
And Sleep the Clock Around by Belle and Sebastian at Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. On May 5th, 2002.
Okay.
What's your favorite way to open a live Sloppy Boy show? And do you have any memories of favorite openers you've seen live?
Ooh, this is really good, Neil. You know what? When the question first started, even part one of the question, my brain was immediately going to one you then said, Badlands. Bruce opening with Badlands? Come on, that's such a... What a treat. You're like, you think that you're going to get that as an encore, and then the first thing you hear is Badlands. I was at that show. That was a mind blower.
Did I go to that, or did I go to one at the Staples Center?
You tried to get into that. They wouldn't let you in. You didn't have the right vibe.
I didn't have a ticket.
Well, you, that's not what I heard. I heard you had a ticket. They just eyeballed you.
Nope. I didn't want them to rip it up. I was like, I want to put this in a frame. It's my first Bruce concert.
That's my fave. And then my favorite way to open a Sloppy Boys show is with a... when we kind of do that R&B kind of blues review. Hey, how's everybody doing? And then we go into the first song from that.
Well, yeah, that is fun to like name the band. It's kind of then we stop down. We kind of go into Let's Party usually. I like, well, before we get on stage, we're usually coming out to Hip to Be Square by... His name is
Huey
Lewis in the News. Thank you, Neil. God, so glad to have you here on the pod.
Oh yeah.
It's funny though that type of entrance stuff. I feel like when you do sketch comedy, the guys in the booth are really on board for like, okay, so you want to slow fade in, and we'll do this, like, you know, we'll bring you out the way that you envisioned because this is theater. And then I feel like a lot of these. Booth guys are great with the audio and the instruments and stuff, but then like if you throw anything, you ask them to do anything for you, they're kind of like, what do you want from me? Or just anything that you say is wrong, even if you say the correct thing, they're like, what? Hip to be square? Because I do remember asking a guy in the booth like, hey, when we come out, can we walk out to Hip to Be Square by Huey Lewis? And he was like, like what? And I was like, do you have like Spotify or Apple Music or anything? He's like, yeah. I was like, could you play Hip to Be Square by? And he's like, yeah.
He's like, you play the music.
I was like, everything I asked, he then did, and I didn't have to help him out in any way. But every word that I said felt like it was pissing him off. Yeah.
Do you want it to sound crystal clear?
Play it through the amp.
I remember at UCB there was the stage is not large, and after you've done 400 shows there, you understand the dimensions of it, but they always have like sort of these blue work lights on but I would always say, don't even put the work lights on. I think it's cooler if the lights just come up and we're all on stage and the audience didn't see us set ourselves in the blue lights.
Totally.
That was always my special request. And hey, that just made for a great podcast.
I'll tell you, one time I went to, this is probably 2008, I went to a Fish cover band at the Whiskey A Go-Go named Chum. Chum was the name of the band. Right before the show starts, I run in, whoever I was with, I turn to them and say, punch you in the eye opener, bam, punch you in the eye opener. I had it right there, baby.
Did you have a secret in? Did you have a leak?
I knew the band.
Oh, no, right on.
You knew of the band's music. Now, Mike, there was another time you were at a Fish show and they started with, ju-jung, ju-jung. Wilson.
I've called that opener before too.
Do you always call the opener?
I like to whoever I'm with be like, hey, what do you think the opener is going to be?
That's cool.
And they're like, please stop talking to us. We didn't want you to come. Oh, we don't know how you got a ticket.
When I was in college in Iowa City, I saw the.
Sorry, Neil, I got to cut you off. There's a hummingbird perched on a wire out here. You rarely see a hummingbird stop. Ooh, okay,
it's coming at us. we're talking Iowa City. I'm dating my kind of first ever, well, maybe second. We'll go second girlfriend.
Is it getting hot in here?
And Fish, the drummer. He has maybe a side project.
Fishman.
Band.
Fishman.
Mandolin project? I don't know. Fishman's mandolin project?
Would they have been performing?
At a college, probably.
20-some years ago?
So, yeah, okay. I think so.
She's in the Fish.
John Fishman's jazz mandolin project? Does that sound
familiar? Could be.
All right. Well, you're telling the story.
Well, I don't remember the name of the band, but fellas, this was the first time I ever, and also probably the last time, I was at a concert where that a girl was like wanted to stand in front of me and have me put her arms around her. And like sort of positioned to like make me do it. And I was like, okay, this is how you like hang out at a concert. And I have like arms wrapped around her in front. And I was like, I have a girl.
Are we going to do this the whole concert?
Now, Neil, what concert was there? Was an infamous concert where some hair touched you.
That was Mazzy Star at the Wiltern.
Some weird hair touched
you? No, I was
It was...
I was seeing Mazzy Star at the Wiltern. I was very excited for the show, and I was there alone, and I was enjoying it. But there's a girl with long hair kind of near me and kind of kept swaying, and her hair just kept touching my bare arm, and it just grossed me out so much. And then I went into work at Bang Bang the next day and told everyone, like, oh, this girl's hair touching me. And
I had to leave early, and the hair touched me.
It's like when Hanford's night was ruined when we saw the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Oh, my God.
A mean guy gave him a dirty, dirty look. And Mike, I had the night of my life at the Fonda being like, what a great show, seeing this band as they're peaking. You know, it was like their first album. And then at the end of the show, reconvened with Mike, and he was like, some guy was going to kill me.
He just kept turning around and sneering at me.
What did you do?
I just kind of like kept my eye out for him.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
But we were close to the stage. Now, Jeff, what about you?
I'll tell you this. I've seen maybe 100 concerts. I couldn't tell you an opener.
What?
This dude's stoned.
Interesting. I'll tell you the one I remember is Kanye West, Hollywood Bowl. Say You Will. The only reason I know he started with that is because he was only playing 808s and Heartbreak that night.
Wait, how does Say You Will go?
I guess play that speaker like radio.
There you have it.
Let's hear part two of the question.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yes. Part two of the question from the winner, Neil Campbell. I really enjoyed you guys recording at my house, but unfortunately, I'm going to need to replace my plunger.
What?
Could you Venmo me for a new one?
What the hell?
Absolutely.
Could we Venmo you? I don't see why we're responsible for that. There's nothing that we did in the bathroom. Nobody has done anything in the bathroom to cause a blockage.
Would love to discuss this off the podcast.
Look, it's that plunger was faulty. It should hold up to 2,000 or 3,000 plunges in a row.
Yeah, and what's with you having a faulty plunger here for us?
Yeah, that's true. I'd use it once or twice.
The thing is, you never use it, so it's cracked. It's dry.
Yeah, you have to keep that thing wet and lubed up, get in there on every use.
Yeah, you guys are right. You guys are right.
And also, read the waiver you signed.
I'll tell you over at Miles.
It only has plunger specifics on it.
It's nothing else. I'm getting at the point, I don't know if it's like, you know, the age of Matt or what, but I've been plunging my pee.
Well, if you've got a question for the boys, email us at sloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Out of my dick, yeah, to get it into my dick.
I was going
to
take that off pod.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys, where you can get our weekly bonus episode, The Sloppy Boys Blowout.
Ooh. Ooh. Good stuff coming out over there.
Damn, good stuff.
Just did some cigars this week.
I've got a couple Sloppy Boys pieces of apparel.
Hey.
Well, what do you got? The tuxedo?
I've got the tuxedo. I got the Speedo, yeah.
The tuxedo and the Speedo.
Neil Campbell, the first contest winner.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. And I'm sorry to the listeners. I know it's better without a guest. I've ruined this.
No.
Please tune in again next week. They won't have me on.
Thanks for being here. Where can people find you, Neil?
Good luck. Instagram, I check sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
No, physically. Where do we find you physically?
Can we find you Letterboxd?
Where are we? Drop a pin.
Oh. Physically, just go to your nearest gym. I'm probably there lifting weights.
You can find him at Equinox, folks.
Stealing your girl.
Folks, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Toot toot.